Always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Schiemann and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Schiemann with Pete Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Coming up here in this 3 o'clock hour, Daniel Lust, attorney and sports law analyst. We're going to break down the Big Ten. We think they may announce tonight they are coming back. We've got a Red Alert Tuesday. We've got Master Pete Theater. All that coming up. And I'm going to give a shout out to Jack and Root Beer. He always texts, go, go, Heat, go, Heat, go, Heat. And then followed it up by saying, sorry, I have to keep texting that. Every time I do, we win. I mean, the superstition even oozes over into our text line as well. And I, as a sports fan, can understand that. You keep doing that, Jack and Root Beer.
It's going to be a hell of a series. Flip a coin, 7 games. I don't think the spread will ever go past 2 unless there's some sort of major injury. Gordon's out for game 1. It's going to be a great, great series.
All right. Looking forward to that. We have an, by the way, game 7 with the Clippers and the Nuggets tonight after 2 colossal Detroit Lion-like collapses by the Clippers.
Kawhi Leonard's not losing that game. They'll get it done.
All right. With that as our backdrop, it is time for SportsCenter Rundown. Here's Chris.
Couple wide receivers on the trading block, maybe. Bears wide receiver Allen Robinson has unfollowed all of his teammates on social media and the team. He's also taken down any mention of him playing for the Bears. Mike Francesa, formerly of FAN, currently of FAN, one of the two, he's reporting that Browns are actively shopping. Wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., Benjamin Albright of the NFL Network, is refuting that report. And Nebraska president Ted Carter, solid name, was caught on a hot mic telling someone they're announcing the Big Ten's going to play football this fall tonight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. In a moment, we'll have Daniel Lust on. We'll talk again. In case you're wondering what some of this is all about, we've got a hot mic picked up the Nebraska president, Ted Carter, saying to a reporter, a TV reporter in the area, that, yeah, yeah. We're going to have some sort of announcement tonight. We're moving forward. And I'm paraphrasing, but I'm pretty close to quoting him.
Cougar Hunter, we love you, but I think you sent the text of what your job entails of – or a job that...
It's his quotes. He's giving quotes.
Not meant for us.
We've got a couple of them. Jack and Root Beer is excited. Can't wait for both games tonight. Honestly, I have butterflies for my heat.
I'm looking forward, and let's not forget the Tampa Bay Lightning. Huge game tonight. They win. They move on to the Stanley Cup Final against the Dallas Stars.
I was asking Cougar Hunter about pricing for interior painting.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. We were texting on our own thing over here.
I just
want
to make sure I didn't send it to a...
No, he did. No, client. Yeah. Potential. We're good.
Oh, okay.
We're good.
All right.
Can I have some work done in the old casa?
Once again.
Thinking about it.
I have... painting's the one thing I can do. I've painted every inch of my house, and it's a pain in the ass. So if you want to pay and have somebody else do it... No, you could not do it.
I choose not to paint.
You could not do it.
I could do it. I choose not to.
All right, Daniel Lust is an attorney, sports law analyst. He's been on ESPN, CBS, Fox, Sirius XM, and he co-hosts his own podcast on sports law. He's with us right now, Daniel Lust. Daniel, how are you?
Hey, Daniel.
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Lots to digest in this weird sports law intersection, but I'm happy to be on with you guys.
Yeah. So did Ted Carter, in your mind, take his... words out of context as he beep, beep, beeped him back up like it sounded foolish, actually. But when you hear the whole thing, obviously. But what was your whole take on that earlier today?
I think when there's smoke, there tends to be fire. And, on a day when people have already expected a Big Ten announcement to come, I think that is highly coincidental that it would something like that would come out of his mouth. So. I mean, you can take him at face value, but, we're having a lot of signs pointing towards that. So, if he was under oath, maybe he would not have said that. But, he might get away with it this time around.
All right, Daniel, we were led to believe several weeks ago that the Big Ten all of a sudden decided not to play football because there were concerns about myocarditis, a side effect of COVID-19, and the legal ramifications that would have down the road. Obviously, the threat of that put the fear of losing multi-million dollars to all the Big Ten schools, as opposed to losing $1 million in TV deals for not having football this year. What is the realistic legal liability of myocarditis, and what do you think possibly would have changed that would allow them a few weeks later to maybe announce tonight they're coming back?
Yeah, so I truthfully, I practice on the defense end of litigation cases, so part of my job is to assess the risk of a potential lawsuit, and if you get hit with it, what it could be. I don't, you know, truthfully, I don't think anybody could really say they know what the long-term effects of COVID-19 are with any type of certainty. I mean, we just had September 11th, the anniversary in this country. There were many people that walked out of the World Trade Center buildings totally fine, and then a couple years later, they started to deteriorate. So I think anybody that tells you that they know for a fact that you can fully recover from COVID-19, you just can't really trust that, for better or for worse. Could it be nothing? Of course, but could it be something? I still don't think we know that. So to your question, I still do think litigation could result, but I think the movement that's out there and why the Big Ten is feeling so much pressure is that, at least at this stage, right, there has not been any type of, we'll say, outbreak of myocarditis at the college football level. Obviously, we've seen some cases of it, but I guess not enough where anybody is so tremendously concerned that should put a halt on college football. So I do still think that the possibility of litigation is there, but people, it's very rampant on social media. People want a chance to see if they can do it safely. So I think that is at least pushing the Big Ten to at least try it and get out on the field.
All right, what about litigation from another standpoint? We're all talking about Ted Carter today, but what about Wisconsin Chancellor Rebecca Blank yesterday? And I think you had a great piece about it. She talks about the Big Ten rarely takes votes, which is unusual and usually consensus. But is there, because she said that, and I think you pointed it out, Big Ten rarely takes votes despite its requirement in the bylaws, this might call for some more FOIA requests. So was that a damaging statement that she made yesterday? And it's not the first time you've heard that of the Big Ten, because Franklin said, you know, we've heard Penn State say, we don't know. We've heard Minnesota, whatever, Iowa, we've never taken, we don't know what a vote is. I don't know. But did she damage, what she said yesterday, Blank for Wisconsin, how'd you feel about that?
And this FOIA, these Freedom of Information Act, yeah. I mean, these are, basically, you can make a request to a public institution. The Big Ten is made up of 13 public schools and then Northwestern. So these Freedom of Information Acts, they will allow you to get any type of documents that are relied on for any type of public institution. So this vote to cancel the Big Ten season, as we've seen attorney generals in both Nebraska and Ohio State, they believe that this vote is impacting, you know, revenue coming to these public institutions. So people will be able to get at what happened in this vote if there were emails that were relied upon. You know, at this stage, by my count, at least there is five administrators at five separate schools, Penn State, Michigan State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and I believe the last one, if I didn't say it, it doesn't matter. But there are five schools that have basically said, you know, they've had a chance to say there was a clear vote, and they've either said some combination of it was a consensus, there was no vote, it was unclear. So the Big Ten chairman has been on the record on, you know, in a sworn affidavit in this Nebraska players lawsuit, as saying it was a clear 11-3 lawsuit. So, I guess as a first step, if you lie under oath, right, if you lie in a sworn affidavit, you could get hit with perjury charges, number one. But number two, I think what the Big Ten is concerned about, if you're a private organization, which the Big Ten conferences, the schools are not, but the conferences, and you fail to follow your own bylaws in terms of adhering to a vote, which is called for in the bylaws, you could have a lot of your private decisions unwound. And that's what I think they have to be worried about. And that's why I think, you know, all of a sudden all these litigations ramping up, and then the Big Ten is very quick to now reverse course. So I don't think those two things are coincidental.
As far as you know, I know weeks ago we had heard some schools like Nebraska were thinking about going rogue. When the Big Ten shut it down, they were thinking about scheduling games on their own. It turns out they probably couldn't. Now there's questions if the Big Ten announces tonight they're coming back. Can some schools not play football anyway, or is it an all-or-nothing deal, as far as you know? If the Big Ten says, all right, we're playing, do they all have to play?
I've actually heard it both ways. I've seen some people saying it's an all-or-nothing deal. I've heard some schools are trying to hold back. The only messiness in all of this is the revenue-sharing model, and that's the TV contracts, because the Big Ten, you know, they have the Big Ten Network. They have a lot of ramifications that would fall over into other sports. I know when Nebraska was threatening to leave, and I think their coach, Scott Frost, said that we're going to play no matter what, even if it's not in the Big Ten, Kevin Warren at the time responded that said, Well, not if you plan on staying in the Big Ten. So there's a very messy world here where certain schools, right, they want to play spring football. I don't know who else is playing spring football. Is it going to be three, you know, Big Ten schools and the rest of the Pac-12? So very messy ramifications for basketball and any other sports in the winter and spring. So I think the cleanest model is if the whole Big Ten comes back. But I'm still hearing little, you know, little whispers and whatnot that certain schools are holding back and are holding up this decision.
If I may, I'm full of useless knowledge and useless quotes. So I'm gonna quote Lieutenant Sam Weinberg from A Few Good Men. Is a lot of this just smoke-filled coffeehouse crap? And I say that because, to me, a big chunk of this is, will these chancellors slash presidents just swallow their pride, admit they were wrong? The rest of this is all going to be made-up crap because we know it's about the money in the end, and I totally get it. And high school kids are playing in Michigan, Ohio, and not allowed to play football right now. So to me, a big part of this, even if off the record, is these chancellors or presidents, Daniel, just have to swallow their pride. A lot of them just say, you know what, we blew it, we overreacted, and we have to come up with some excuse where we don't just sort of save face here. You think that's a fair assessment by me, or am I full of crap?
I think it's right, you know, from the same movie. I don't know if we can handle the truth at this point. I don't know what is going on behind the scenes. You know, again, for me, it is not, just so everyone's aware of this, I see a lot of affidavits, I see a lot of sworn testimony. It is not that normal that four or five people in a room that were allegedly a part of this 11-3 vote can't even tell you if a vote occurred while someone else is saying it's explicitly clear. So there's something going on behind the scenes. I think at this point, truthfully, I mean, Kevin Warren is missing in action. We haven't heard from him in a number of weeks. I think someone on the PR end is telling them to not speak to the media because, you know, people like me were dissecting every word that comes out of their mouth, just like we saw with the, you know, Wisconsin's chancellor today. You know, she's saying again, you know, that college football is not played purely for profit, which, you know, I imagine a lot of people would disagree with that as well.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, she wants to say that it's, you know, football is not made for, college football is not made for profit, but, you know, I think the proof is in the pudding and you know, the fact that so many big donors in the Big Ten are holding protests, threatening to pull money out of the school. I do think money talks at the end of the day, and it's talking so loud that the Big Ten can no longer ignore it.
Daniel, I'm curious. This all kind of got resurrected, if you will, a couple of weeks ago. You mentioned Kevin Warren. Nothing was happening until President Trump got on the phone and talked to him for about 20 minutes. And I'm not so naive that I don't realize that these are swing states all in Big Ten country for the election. But do we need to give a lot of credit to President Trump for resurrecting these talks and these possibilities? What do you think took place on that phone call?
You know, I remember thinking it was strange at the time because I had been following these different letter writing campaigns from the University of Illinois parents and Purdue, and everyone was just trying to get some words from Kevin Warren to see what was going on. He can't talk to them, but he has a 15 to 20 minute conversation with, you know, President Trump. So, again, you'd be crazy not to see the political optics in this that, you know, President Trump was involved, whether or not he kind of, you know, I think he said push it into the end zone. That's one thing. Or if, you know, Kevin Warren was looking for an olive branch for someone to get him out of this mess. I will say, again, something just atypical. They had the vote, the alleged vote to cancel the season. But that wasn't the only thing we heard from Warren. The next week, he goes, we thought about it, and our decision is final. Didn't turn out to be so final because they're having conversations with President Trump, and we're having, you know, maybe on the impending of the Big Ten returning. So I think this has been a mess on all fronts. And I think when you invite the politicians into this debate, you get half the country mad at you. So I think it's hard to find someone in the country who thinks that the Big Ten handled this appropriately.
All right, Counselor, answer me this. If Kevin Warren should be fired, and I don't think he should, if he is, it'll be because of these presidents and chancellors who don't know what the left hand and what the right hand is doing. But if he came to you and said, Counselor Lust, please defend me, would you take the case? As he's suing the Big Ten, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I in a period of time in my life, I did criminal defense work. I do believe that everyone is innocent until proven guilty in the country. I do think the only thing that Warren has got a bad rep on, he's only been the Big Ten commissioner for about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So anybody that's telling you that he swayed the vote this way or that way, or he's part of some big cover-up, I mean, these presidents, most of them, have been at the schools much longer than he has. So I think he's getting a little bit of an unfair rap with that. But I will say this, and I have been vocal on this. If you're the Big Ten's commissioner, you're the, you know, the public-facing individual, you can't disappear for 3 weeks in the biggest controversy in the history of the conference. you have to be answering the tough questions. So, yeah. You know, I'll obviously take the case if he's being charged with some massive cover-up, but in terms of transparency, you know, I call it like I see it. I think he's got to get a failing grade for that.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, by the way, where did you go to law school? Just a curiosity.
Fordham Law School in New York City.
G. Gordon Liddy, I believe, is the most famous alum there that I can think of off the top of my head. Mark Breen,
is also an alum there, and Tony Reale also from ESPN.
Yeah, there you go.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, at the end of the day, and maybe in minutes, could be a couple of hours, when this is all settled, and I read a report earlier today, and I just had it here. Give me 2 seconds. But it's just said, it said that they believe the Big Ten will be required to read an 18-page front and back letter at 5:30 a.m. prior to getting back together with college football playoff. Did you hear anything about that?
You know, again, I've heard it from both ways. I heard it was definitely going to be Monday. I heard it was going to be October 10th, and I heard it was October 17th. What I will say, and this is just, you know, from people, again, people like myself and other lawyers and other, you know, people on Twitter, I think they are going to come out with the most rehearsed. If they do come back, just you know, we'll take it for what it's worth at this point. I think it's going to be one of these statements that is just dropped in the internet. I don't think it's going to be any public, you know, speech by Warren or anybody else associated with the Big Ten. I think they have put their foot in their mouth about 14 times, so a 15th might put them over the edge. Right? If it comes back, I think we're just going to get hit with a monster press release. Every I dotted, every T crossed, so there can be at least they'll try. No way to invite more criticism on this decision.
All right, very good, Daniel. Awesome. Thank you for coming on. Interesting stuff. I appreciate it. We'll see what develops tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have you on again.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Daniel. Thank you.
That's Daniel Luss, attorney and sports law analyst. And again, the ramifications of the Big Ten, maybe swallowing some crow and announcing tonight that they indeed will come back and play football starting in October. Stay tuned. Again, this all from a hot mic earlier today from NBC president, NBC, Nebraska president Ted Carter.
Sure, that's your hieroglyphic chicken scratch again.
Yes, it is. Ted Carter and a hot mic in front of him saying, yeah, we're going to be making an announcement tonight.
He was happy. There was glee.
He said, we're moving
forward. There was joy. It moved. And there's no question that he was happy about it.
It moved.
Yeah.
It moved. All right. So that is the latest. And now, I don't know if they're going to be making an announcement tonight. I don't know if there's going to be a quote-unquote vote. We apparently don't know what the definition of a vote is in Big Ten
whatever
country.
It is, I think it has to be today because I think they're going to plan. If they're playing 8 games in 9 weeks starting October 16th, 17th, they got to do it today. They got to.
I agree. Jim Harbaugh says he can get a team ready to play in 2 weeks, and they've been practicing. So shouldn't be too tough. Mm. All right. Very good. Your thoughts on that conversation at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. When we come back, we are going to dive into Red Alert, Red Alert Tuesday. That's when we put people, teams, and situations on blast. I've got a pretty good list here. Masterpiece Theater, another selection from Pete Shepard coming up.
It's you guys know this one.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's an assumption sometimes. But,
I think you do.
Okay. And
I knew it, so I'm assuming you knew it.
Okay.
It's a newer one.
But. Next hour, Wikipedia will be Big Ten trivia in honor of the Big Ten, hopefully coming back. And, of course, I went to school there.
So we're actually doing something a little different on this, Wikipedia. These are very difficult questions. They get to be very difficult questions.
Really?
Okay.
Okay.
Once a Big Ten school has been an answer, that school will not be an answer again.
It's eliminated.
So it can be eliminated. Right. So when you get to the end and it's hard questions, you're not thinking about all 14. You can really narrow it down.
So you didn't do any trick questions like you did.
There might be a trick question or two, but like Ohio State will only be the answer to one question.
Oh, okay.
Only to one question.
That's okay.
All right.
I like that.
That'll be fun. We'll do that next hour. By the way, we are in the middle of September. Baseball season is here. And before we end the show, we got to talk about the postseason plan for Major League Baseball and their various bubbles. The World Series will be at a neutral site. We'll tell you all about that. But in the meantime, you can bundle and save any three policies with a triple play with Damon Brist Farmers Insurance. Bundle the home, auto, and umbrella policy, or bundle home, auto, and boat, for example. Let Damon Brist Farmers Insurance discount all three policies for you. Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance, was the first Farmers agency in Southwest Florida. He's still the fastest growing Farmers agent in the country. I got a little follow-up call from them today, as a matter of fact, making sure everything's hunky-dory. Great customer service. Here's their phone number, 239-202-2933, 239-202-2933, Damon Brist, Farmers Insurance. I've switched my policies. Have you switched yet?
Follow the guys on Twitter, at PSHEP326, and at Craig ESPN. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Craig Scheman, Pete Shepard. Scheman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Good tune there, Chris. All right. It is a Red Alert Tuesday. This is where we put people, teams, and situations on blast because they deserve to be. And we go round robin style. I have a pretty hefty list today now that sports is back. Thought we did a pretty good job in the meantime. Are we ready to go, gentlemen?
I'm ready.
Chris, we ready to fire it off?
Yeah.
What? What? That sounded like a lukewarm yeah. What's going on over there?
No, it's not a lukewarm yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's do it. You should say, hell yeah, Craig, let's go.
Hell yeah, let's go.
All right.
Red alert, Major League Baseball. The schedule came out for the postseason.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do this without a Red Zone channel on MLB, but just for instance, on Wednesday, September 30th, Game 2, American League Wild Card Series A, 1 versus 8, American League Wild Card Series B, 2 versus 7, and so on and so forth. I would 8 games, 8 games, some Game 2, some Game 1s, all on Wednesday, September 30th. And they have also announced, you know, where the sites are going to be. They have the final four sites opening up. The NLDS, Arlington, Texas, and Houston, Texas. And the ALDS will be in San Diego and Los Angeles. But MLB, Major League Baseball, red alert on how you expect everyone to see all these games.
It's going
to
be confusing. Red alert! Tommy Brady.
I knew this was coming.
Two interceptions, one pick six, one fumble. By comparison, week one last year, Jameis Winston. Three interceptions, two fumbles. I will be comparing these two for the upcoming season. We shall see. Right now, Tom Brady's behind Jameis Winston's pace last year, but overall ahead of his pace for the entire season as he tries to set a record in interceptions, and also pick sixes. If he throws another one, it's four straight weeks.
Mm-hmm.
First ever.
And I challenge you, you will not update as the season goes along because it'll be so in favor of Brady that it'll be embarrassing for you.
Even Bruce Arians yesterday said, I was a little surprised how much he sucked throwing passes behind people. He was fine in practice, but when the bright lights came on, choked. Choked like a 43-year-old boy.
That's not what Bruce Arians said.
It's pretty close.
43-year-old boy.
Yeah. Red alert, Tom Brady.
It's so ridiculous. Red alert, Craig Scheman, for not doing a little bit of research before this segment. This was the fourth time in Tom Brady's career he lost week one.
Yeah.
He made it to the Super Bowl the previous three times. Red alert, Craig Scheman, for calling a 43-year-old a boy.
I actually meant to bring that up yesterday. Red alert again, Major League Baseball. They're hoping to have fans at the World Series. Hearing 25% of the capacity may be a good estimate. However, this little nugget from Bob Nightingale, players who receive permission to stay home during the seven-day transition period are not permitted to leave except to travel to the ballpark. Family members cannot leave the house under any condition, including work or school, and no visitors are permitted in the home. Take that, Major League Baseball. Live with that.
Gonna be rough.
Red alert.
Red alert! All expatriates! Forget about Tom Brady. He wasn't even the worst one. Steven Gostkowski of the Titans missed three field goals and an extra point. They all stink. That's why the Patriots got rid of him. Red alert, all expatriates.
Is that all you can come up with?
That's it.
I haven't even gotten to the ones playing for the Lions.
All right, red alert, Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you're going to throw three picks, let's just let the Tua era in Miami start. I'm pretty confident Tua can score 11 points against the Patriots as well. Just throwing that out there, Ryan Fitzpatrick. The clock is ticking. Yeah. Be better.
Be better.
Be better. All very, right. Very low bar to clear.
Okay.
Be better than three interceptions. Red alert.
Gotcha.
Red alert, New York Giants, Daniel Jones. You can't go 19 plays and then do what you did and throw one of the worst interceptions in the history of the NFL. Giants are going to finish in last place. The Jets are absolutely going to finish in last place. The Mets just got bought out of $2.4 billion. Good luck with that. The Yankees may miss the playoffs. What a great day to be a New York sports fan. Red alert.
Fantastic. Red alert, Matt Patricia, Matt Stafford, DeAndre Swift. Matt Patricia, you have blown 8 fourth quarter leads as a head coach of the Lions in your 2+ years as a head coach. Matthew Stafford for that interception in the fourth quarter against the Bears. Stafford from Georgia, by the way. DeAndre Swift from Georgia, dropping the game-winning touchdown. You know, while I'm at it, throw Bob Quinn in there. If this is the Patriot way, it stinks. I don't want any part of it. Red alert, all of you.
You know, Bob Quinn was responsible for a drop ball.
Unbelievable. I thought it was a nice draft pick. Red alert, Adam Gase. I'm going to make this very short.
As is his career.
Do something right.
Oh.
Anything. Pick something and do it right. Because as far as I'm concerned, you've gotten through your entire NFL career on the shoulder, on the dead shoulder and neck of Peyton Manning. That's it. Ooh. Right there. Red alert. Adam Gase. Terrible.
Okay.
Red alert, Philadelphia Eagles. I can already say this. They're in our Tia Pigskin picks, and I will take the Rams. I will pick against Philadelphia. I don't care how rational or irrational it seems. Every single game this year for that pathetic, gutless, heartless performance against the Washington football team. How about that?
Football team.
How about that?
Yeah.
Red alert, Philadelphia Eagles. You are dead to me.
Okay. Red alert, Los Angeles Clippers. You are now the Detroit Lions of the NBA.
Oh.
Maybe you always have been, but you're making 19-point fourth quarter leads disappear like nothing. Good luck tonight, Game 7 against the Nuggets. Red alert, LA Clippers.
Oh, red alert, just the Cleveland Browns organization. It's every year we try to make a case for you that this is the year it gets turned around and Baker was a good pick and Odell Beckham likes to catch footballs.
Yes.
It's every year and I'm tired of it. Go to another league. Go to the CFL as far as I'm concerned, Cleveland. You're done. You're done as an NFL franchise. Red alert. 1 week overreaction.
Last one for me. Red alert, the Chicago Bears. It was nice that you got that gift from the Lions. But Todd Pelissero, NFL Network, reporting that Allen Robinson has become frustrated with the progress of a new contract. He feels that he's been disrespected and that the offers from the Bears to this point have not reflected his fair market value. And we'll see how that goes. But the best bet for Robinson might just be able to play out his contract, according to Tom, in Rod Tidwell fashion, move on to greener pastures. Or they could deal him to the Patriots and be a great asset to Cam Newton and company. Would be a fine idea if indeed he knew the fact that Cam Newton would be around for more than just this year. But that being said, red alert, Chicago Bears.
All right. Red alert. Julio Jones.
Oh, my
God.
Congratulations. You're on pace for 144 catches, 2,512 yards receiving, 0 touchdowns, and 0 wins. Red alert, Julio Jones.
Did you see DeAndre Hopkins' numbers over the weekend on Sunday?
This isn't about DeAndre Hopkins.
But
this
did
is
you
about
see the numbers
red alert
that he had?
For Julio
they
Jones.
Weren't as good as Julio Jones.
151 yards on 14
Sorry,
receptions
guys.
And no touchdowns.
If you would like to use D Hop in your red alert, feel free.
No, because he had a great game. And so did Julio Jones.
Great.
I'm having a tough time not putting you on red alert twice. Tough time. I'm not going to do it because I feel like that's breaking the rules of this segment.
There are no rules.
But I want to. It's so frustrating when you dig your heels in on these asinine positions. Just I'm sorry, I can't even go onto my.
And it's a 3-year-old grudge from his fantasy football.
It doesn't make any sense.
It.
And it's not like he was bad. He had 1,400 receiving yards that season.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Didn't help me in fantasy. I'll tell you that.
All right, red alert.
Well, I want to give mine.
Oh,
red,
sorry. Yeah.
Red
I
alert.
That was it.
Red alert. U.S. Open players this week. It's at Winged Foot. Tight fairways. Thick. 6-inch deep rough right off of the fairway.
Fescue, right?
We are actually. They use Poana out there. They use a Poana, which is very rare for a course on the East Coast. That you find that out in California.
Yeah.
A little bumpier by the end of the day, but when it's smooth, it is beautiful. It's like putting on a nice fresh carpet.
Wow.
But a good carpet.
Okay.
But red alert, that course is going to play extremely difficult this week. Winning score. Right at even par.
Did you see Phil Mickelson, by the way? He's posted before and after pictures. He was like me. He used to be fat. Now he's thin. And he's really. I posted it on our website, 99.3 ESPN, by the way.
He's got a hilarious commercial going on right now. So Callaway's got two drivers out. Mm-hmm. And you can go on some website. I don't know if it's Golf Galaxy or their website or whatever. If you pick the winner of the Callaway golfers and that guy actually wins the U.S. Open, you'll get a free driver.
Ooh.
Either the Big Bertha and I forget what their other one is, Diablo or something like that. But nice. It's funny. It's got Phil at the end of the commercial going, when have I ever let you down at Winged Foot before?
Oh, nice.
Nice. Very nice.
I have one more. Red Alert Big Ten, get your bleep together. And how about this for a Red Alert stat of the day for the rest of the NFL? And I know it's one game. However, this may be the best stat of the week. The Ravens only allowed 16 yards after the catch against the Browns on Sunday, which is absolutely insane.
Good tackling with no camp.
Red Alert, no, rest of the NFL.
No preseason. Red Alert, Matt Rhule. Rule number one. See what I did there?
Got it.
Christian McCaffrey is on your team. Use him on 4th-and-1. Red alert, rookie coach Matt Rhule.
My last one. Red alert, Mike Vrabel. Let me introduce you to your backup running backs. It's Sonoris Perry and Jeremy McNichols. You don't have to give Derrick Henry 31 rushes in the first week. Do you guys know how many carries that would be on the season?
Yeah,
496 carries. Right. Not sustainable. Not if you want him to be a rounder in the playoffs.
He's,
red alert, Mike Vrabel.
Like he's paying him. He's using him and get him out of there.
Yeah, I wanted him on my fantasy.
No, use him in the playoffs, not in the week one. It's a close game. I get it.
All right. Is that it? Are we all caught up?
Yeah.
All
no
right.
Touchdowns.
I'm done.
Did you have a bad game too? 116 yards and no touchdowns? Is
yes.
That bad?
Bum. What a bum.
Well, he won, so you know, whatever. We're good.
He won. Yeah, because he had everything to do with Gostkowski missing the 4, making the 1. He had all that, right?
Maybe he intimidates him.
Gostkowski went wide left, wide right, blocked, and shanked the extra point.
Did Matt Ryan have a good game, Craig?
Matt Ryan?
Yeah, 450 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick.
Nope.
No.
Those passing yards can be deceiving on those high numbers for quarterback. You know how many times you see a 300-yard passer lose in the NFL? Quite a bit.
450.
I'm not falling into your circular logic. I know you're trying to trap me. This is like a presidential debate question. I know exactly what you're trying to do to me. I see it coming.
No, I
reject the premise of your question.
I reject the
fake
challenge.
Fake news. All right. Coming up, we've got Master P Theater.
Get ready to be stimulated. Intellectually.
Okay.
That's weird.
That was very weird.
Well, no, I said intellectually.
Glad there's glass between us right now. That's all I can say.
Not enough. All right. So we got the Master P Theater. That's coming up next. Don't forget the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back in action this weekend with another NFC South opponent. I don't know who the best quarterback in this matchup is, but they're taking on the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. Buccaneers presented in part by My Shower Door. Want to see more? And the Boathouse on Naples Bay. Sheba to Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Yeah, whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Wow.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Brings back memories, that one.
Yeah.
That was our
really
old bumper school music back when I was at EEI.
Many years.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a common one used back then.
Pete Shepard would bust a groove when that song came on.
Mm.
No? No groove?
Nah.
Yeah, no groove.
Nah.
All right. So this time, each and every week on Tuesday, is Masterpiece Theater. Middle-aged white guy Pete Shepard theatrically performs the lyrics of a rap song he may or may not have heard of. I think he's heard of this one today.
Yes, I absolutely have heard of this one today. I stumbled upon it this morning.
Oh, all right. Take it away.
All right. I forget. Do I say it first and then you play the intro?
We've only been doing this for a year.
I forget. I forget. There's so many features now that we have.
And now I will perform blah, blah, blah by blah, blah, blah.
And now.
And then mention the sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is In Da Club by 50 Cent.
Oh, this is great. Everybody knows this.
I'm excited. And now, Master Pete Theater reading.
Wait a minute. You're going to have to edit this.
In Da Club by 50 Cent.
50 Cent. Say it right.
50 Cent.
Please don't interrupt.
Sorry. Turn my mic
off. Go, 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 go. Go, shorty. It's your birthday. We gone party like it's your birthday.
Yeah, we are.
We gone sip Bacardi
like
it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a bleep. It's not your birthday.
It's not your birthday.
You can find me in the club.
Uh-huh.
Bottle full of bub.
Champagne.
Look, mammy, I got the X if you into taking drugs.
What does that mean?
I'm into having sex. I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you into getting rubbed. You can find me in the club. Bottle full of bub. Look, mammy, I got the X if you into taking drugs.
Gosh.
I'm into having sex. I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting rubbed.
Mm-hmm.
When I pull up out front, you see the Benz on dubs.
20s.
Uh-huh. When I roll 20 deep, it's 20 knives in the club.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Gentlemen heard I bleep with Dre. Now they want to show me love. When you sell like Eminem and the hoes, they want to bleep. Woo.
What?
Look, homie, ain't nothing changed. Hoes go down. G's up. I see exhibit in the cut. Hey, distinguished African-American gentlemen, roll that weed up. Roll it. If you watch how I move, you'll make me for a player or pimp. Been hit with a few shells, but I don't walk with a limp. I'm all right. I'm sorry. In the hood in L.A., they saying, 50, you hot? Uh-huh. They like me. I want them to love me like they love Pac.
Pac.
But holla in New York. Distinguished African-American gentleman, tell you I'm loco. Yeah. And the plan is to put the rap game in a chokehold. Uh-huh. I'm fully focused. Man, my money on my mind. Got a mill out the deal, and I'm still on the grind. Woo. Now, shorty, said she feeling my style. She feeling my flow. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Her girlfriend with her, they buy. And they ready to go.
They buy.
Okay.
They,
oh, like Andrew buy. Gillum.
As in B.I.
Oh.
You can't find me in the club. Bottle full of bub. Look, mammy, I got the X if you into taking drugs. I'm into having sex. I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you into getting rubbed. My flow, my show brought me the dough. That brought me all my fancy things, my crib, my cars,
yes,
my clothes, my jewels. Look, distinguished African-American gentleman, I don't came up and I ain't changed. What? What? Yeah. And you should love it way more than you hate it. Distinguished African-American gentleman, you mad? I thought you'd be happy. I made it. Whoa. I'm the cat by the bar, toasting to the good life.
Careful.
You that.
Careful.
Interesting African, distinguished African-American gentleman who, well, he's trying to pull me back, right? When my joint gets to pumping in the club, it's on.
Oh, my God.
I wink my eye at, yo, nice-looking female. If she smiles, she's gone.
Nice-looking female.
If the roof on fire, let the mother, nice person, burn. If you're talking about money, homie, I ain't concerned. I'ma tell you what Banks told me. 'Cause go ahead, switch the style up. If distinguished African-American gentlemen hate, then let them hate and watch the money pile up. Or we go upside your head with a bottle of bub. They know where we be messing. You can find me in the club. Bottle of bub. Look, mammy, I got the X if you're into taking drugs. Don't worry. Don't try to act like you don't know where we be either, distinguished African-American gentlemen. We in the club all the time, distinguished African-American gentlemen. So pop, pop off, distinguished African-American gentlemen. G unit. The end.
I'm speechless. I'm absolutely speechless.
Now that is how you stimulate intellectually. God.
Well, I noticed there was a lot of
I'm so nervous right now.
I know. Let's just go to break. Got a big 4 o'clock hour.
What are you talking about? Let's break it all down. That's
funny.
Deep.
I actually didn't know a few lyrics in that song. I was wrong. Yeah. For 15 years, I guess I've been wrong about some of those.
People seem to like it.
Yeah, that was a good – that was my favorite, I think. That was number one on the power ranking.
Yep.
Big Butts and I Cannot Lie would be up there as well.
All right.
We did that one before.
Yeah.
That was the very first one.
Whew. That was funny.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we regroup
– we'll hear it.
We'll hear it.
Maybe.
And – what does Derek Carr and John Gruden's wife have to do with each other? Coach is a little hot under the collar. All that coming up. Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.